लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. And today, it's a kind of special episode because no actor, no actress, no director, no fans. We have another type of crew member in this vertical space. And I'm really happy that she asked me if she can join the podcast because it's a big theme she's working with. And I say hello, Alina Averianova.
Right? You got it. Yeah. Thank you for having me. Very excited. A lot of people who are not familiar with filmmaking ask me what is it that I do. Even my parents were curious, what is it exactly that I'm
doing? Does your parents know what verticals are?
They do, but only from my stories from set and not so much from watching them, because neither one of in my family neither mom nor dad watch any of that.
So you told me you are from Russia.
Correct.
In Russia, verticals popular?
The conversation about them is just starting. I know that a couple of big streaming platforms acquired a couple of verticals to put along with the feature films on their websites and see how people gonna like it. I am curious to see how that's gonna go because it's a slightly different approach. There is not really a specific vertical app. It's just among the other titles in the library of the movies.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's the same audience. I'm not sure if it's the same type of, oh, what are we going to watch tonight? You know, let's put on the vertical for an hour. It's not that vibe. So I'm curious to see how that's going to go. But no, they're not, there are no specific dedicated vertical platform there yet.
Yet. We will see yet. So we have to explain first, who are you and what are you doing? I know you are a script supervisor. Sounds really fancy, but what's that? What's your job and what kind of part do you take in this vertical space?
So the shortened version of what I do that you can find on Wikipedia is I'm a representative of writer and the editor. So I am technically bridging the script with the post-production. I think you can break down my work in three big chunks. In prep, I break down the script scene by scene linearly so that when you shoot the vertical script or any other script of that matter, you never shoot it in the order of scenes, unless it's a very consecutive sequence with a lot of special effects that are building on top of each other within the same moment of time. And I only had one production in my whole career that literally shot in 1, 2, 3 onwards till the last one because of all the blood. It was an action movie because of all the blood buildup that was supposed to be happening on the costumes. But usually, and that's 100% true for the verticals, there are scenes that take place, for example, in the kitchen of an alpha or a CEO house, and those scenes are shot out of order. You would do scene 1, and then scene 35, and then scene 70. And they happen within different sequences. The actors are supposed to have different makeup, have or not have bruisers, have or not have certain hairstyle that is carried over from the scene before or is important for the scene after. So by doing a general breakdown, I can then, by being on set and having it, confirm that whatever is being shot is shot continuously with the narrative that's happening around every element.
So you are getting the script from whom?
From the production, usually it's the producer who would send it to me. Sometimes it could be the first AD who sends it, but generally producer early in prep as he's sending it to the wardrobe artist, to the makeup artist, to director, he would send a copy of the script to me for that breakdown.
And how long before the shoot starts you get the script? Because you have to read it and break it totally down. So I think that takes a bit of time.
It does. It's always a battle because writers in prep conversation with the producers and directors and the limitations of the budget, they want to have every extra day they can to accommodate the limitations that we have into the script. And whoever is working on productions is trying to tear that script away from them and say, no, we have to lock it. We have to start breaking it down. So, in that fight, somewhat maybe 2 weeks before the shooting day is a good amount of time. Technically, for my purposes, I can do the full breakdown within 2, 3 days for all the departments, props, makeup, special camera effects, whatever is there for me to be able to track it on set. And then once I come on set, I stay there along with the director, along with other department heads in front of the monitor and make sure that all the lines that are written in the script are said correctly. If there are grammatical mistakes, which are often the case, because we quite often get the scripts that have not been properly localized. So,
Yeah, and I translate it.
wow, yes, that you can say, definitely can say that. Then we work along with actors and directors and client representatives on set trying to fix that as well.
So you were doing first this breakdown, and you are decide in which line the scenes are shot, or what?
No, that's the job that is first assistant director doing. So the person who is in charge of the order of filming and keeping us on track during the production is called the first AD, first assistant director. It's the, you can call him like general manager of the set.
And for
Yes, the
whom? So you do for him the breakdown, or
for
what?
myself, because I will be there on set. And we were
Okay.
filming out of order. And I just need to make sure that every scene has what it needs to have for the
Ah,
visuals to be
okay.
continuous. So I do this
Okay.
breakdown for myself to be able to refer to this table and like have a reminder for myself to be able to say, oh, does she have that Luna tattoo that she's supposed to have? Or does she have the
Yeah.
bite mark?
Oh, that's getting interesting. So you are kind of a detail manager in the scenes?
Correct, yes.
Because, so now I have a big point. That's good that we are talking. Because me and a lot of other fans saw some verticals where in the same scene, on different views, the tie has a different color, or in one scene, she got spilled wine over her top, and in the next take, even if it's the same scene but only from a different view, the spill isn't there. Or I spoke, for example, with Hayley Hansen, the actress, and she said they shot a scene. It was a dinner scene with more people on 2 different days. And it turned out later in the vertical, when it was published, that that on the first scene while she was sitting at the table, she had a, I think, a red or blue dress on, and her hairs were really great done. And in the next shot of this scene, she has to run out of the room. It was a dress in a different color, and her hairs were open. How could this happen?
Well, my kin should take the full responsibility for that. It should not be happening, especially not with major things like a wardrobe or hairstyle, because that's ultimately what we are there for, to make sure that those elements stay consistent. I have to address, however, the wine spiel separately, because that's a nightmare of all vertical productions. The wine and coffee spilled in the face, breaking of tables, vases, glasses on the
Yes.
floor, all types of bites in the neck where you're supposed to see the blood happening from my two fangs. All type of, oh, he took a bullet wound, but then talks for 7 scenes after that normal conversation. Nothing happened. Like all that is a pain of our existence in a way, because verticals. So we get a feature length script, which in the usual, even low budget feature world, you would work on making it as real to the reality of the story as possible over the span of at least 18, 20 shooting days. That's a
Yes.
good amount of filming days for a feature film. We're getting all the craziness of the spills and the cuts and the bullets and whatnot, and we film it within 6, 7, 8 days. So we have very high page counts, a lot of elements to maintain as consistent as we humanly can, and a very low budget to do that. So very often, even though it should not be done and said, but we kind of try to see if it's going to be completely horrible if she has that vampire bite or cut or spill for one scene, and then we can assume within the story world that she went to clean herself up and came back and it's not there anymore. It's a fairy tale that we tell ourselves to bring peace to our own souls, knowing that this is not supposed to be done this way. But very often, when you have one picture dress and the budget cannot accommodate for two dresses, and you don't know how the wine gonna behave, how it's gonna stain on the day, you can only afford to do, for example, half of that sequence with the actual stain, but everything after the sequence or before the sequence with the stain, you would try to come up with some sort of excuse or an explanation for why she doesn't have it.
Now we're getting to the point, because
Yeah.
that's a big point the ladies and I were really often discussing. Sometimes the dress isn't the same, although it's the same scene. Or another example, showering scenes. You see, they are showering together, their hair's getting really wet, and in the next scene, their hair are totally drying up when they come out of the shower. How does it happen?
It happens because you shoot after the shower first. You keep the shower scene the last scene of the day because it takes roughly an hour for one female actress, especially if it's the lead, to dry the hair and restyle it completely. So we just wet it in one scene and assume that they completely went into blow drying, hair styling in the same bathroom together, and then they walk out fully dry. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
but
the only
it's
way
kind
we
of
can do that.
ridiculous when you see that they are just leaving the shower. So how can they dry their hair in the shower?
Absolutely, no, I hear you. I guess
I was
because
totally in the, you have to listen to the episode I did with Caitlin from Verticate. We were discussing that we need a detail manager on set, because there are so often kind of really ridiculous scenes, which for us audiences, are they think we are dumb?
Or can I ask you a
No.
question? If there are hospitals, now we spill it. That's
Oh, that's
great, I
not
have you.
perfect.
If we have a hospital scene and there are a lot of points that are not realistic, but if you have to need a defibrillator because someone has a heart stop or a heart attack, why is it always pushed on the top and on the clothes? Because I needed the defibrillator, and I think 95% of the audience know that that wouldn't work in real life if you are putting it on the clothes and not directly on the skin.
Totally will take the heat for that one too. The thing with anything skin to skin related, especially when it's the upper chest. With the guys, it's a little bit easier because a lot of male actors are okay and like they go into the vertical world knowing that they're there to showcase their workout routine and the abs and the arms, and they're ready to be topless. With the girls, it's harder. Because any nudity requires intimacy coordinator to make sure that everybody's comfortable on set, to make sure that the actress is comfortable with whatever is shown on screen. And very
Even if
often.
you would put it, if you would do like you are putting it under and the shirt is above this.
But then the question of how realistic it is, you don't do it under the shirt, right? You would like rip the shirt or take it off
Yeah,
and do
but
it to
it's more
see.
realistic than do it on the shirt. You know, it's kind of a compromise, maybe.
In my perspective, the compromise would be to stay in the close-ups, you know, to not even see that beat. But then it's the question to directors. And how, or the client requests, sometimes the client really wants the wide shot of the scene, but the actress is saying, no, we're not gonna take off the shirt for this one. And they're like, okay, we're gonna do it. And then the editor in post will use whatever makes sense to use in the final cut. And then sometimes not that happens. And you see a very ridiculous wide shots that were not supposed to make it.
Yeah,
But
but
still
the
works though.
hospital scenes are so
I
often a ridiculous shot.
agree with you, absolutely. And trust me, everybody involved is aware of
It
that.
sometimes doesn't seem so because every person I spoke to who said, "Ah, listen, it's always the same. They are if they're doing an ultrasound, it's totally weird how they do this ultrasound." And if they are doing this with the defibrillator and stuff like that. So, I see your job is not so easy. Do you like your job?
I love my job, yes,
How did you get
absolutely.
into that job? I mean, I think there is no education school for a script supervisor, isn't it?
There are none. However, a lot of more experienced colleagues of mine who have 25 plus years on set. They have their own courses, and you can go join their online classes, and they will teach everything they know in the field,
Okay.
and that's very helpful.
So how did you end up being a script supervisor?
By a complete accident. I had no idea what script supervisor does. Why do we need that person on set or anything? My background was in development. I was a writer. I came to the US 8 years ago to do filmmaking program, like a 2-year master's degree, because I wanted to be on set. I'm very social. I felt like writing alone doesn't really give my need for human connections.
Because it's too behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I still love writing, but yeah, definitely I need more people around me to bounce off. And I came here halfway through the program. Someone needed a script supervisor for like a thesis project when you take it more seriously and you hire extra people and said that you probably can't always afford when you're just doing the first like sketches on your own. And I was like, I have no idea what the script supervisor is, but let me watch YouTube video. I'll be ready in an hour.
So you did learning by doing mostly?
Absolutely, yes. I did my first feature film without having any idea how it's supposed to be properly done.
Does it work
And
out?
it did work out, yes. I am union. I am, 8 years in features and TV and
Okay.
everything. So yes, it did
So,
work out at the end.
and when did you, or how did you end up in the vertical space? When did you do your first vertical?
I started at the same time when Verticals just came to LA. So it was in the autumn of 2023, one rainy, gloomy evening of 2023. No.
Mysterious.
Mysterious,
It
yeah.
was foggy and a bit of rain. Okay, yeah. Yeah,
And the phone
we
rang.
got the scene. We got the
And a good friend of mine, who is a vertical director, Yuchi Tara, she called me. We did a bunch of vertical commercials for Chinese mobile gaming apps
Okay.
for a couple of years by then. And then she called me when she got an offer to direct a vertical drama in LA, and she said, I have no idea what that is, but this is like the longest thing I've ever directed because it's a feature length script.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Sounds good. Like she was on board, she wanted me on board because I was script supervising with her like every other month. And I was like, well, I've never heard of anything vertical, but sure, Webtoons, that's the only thing I can think of. Sure, let's go. We're
What
gonna do
was
it.
this first vertical you did?
Oh my God, I don't even remember it at this point. But I know that it was with Noah Farley and Noemi van Slyke. So it was very, very first vertical actors with whom I worked.
Yeah, I started watching verticals in 2023 also. And my first, I will check by the way while we're talking what maybe this would be. And my first vertical I ever watched was with Jared Harper, The Double Life of My Billionaire Husband. I think it was one of the first ones which released on Real Short. And that's why I'm asking what your first vertical was, because I think since 2023 till now, they're produced a bit better.
Definitely. But we're doing, I think, over 40 verticals a year. So it's and the names, as much as I love the creativity behind the names, they're very similar. So when you're doing like two, three projects a month and it's all my CEO, billionaire, werewolf, abandoned
Yeah,
virgin wife,
maybe not, maybe with Daenerys.
Yeah, it's really hard to retain all the names and the memories. I'm so
Yeah.
sorry to the fans.
No problem, because sometimes the titles are only silly. Sorry, but no. No, only no. I was just asking if it what kind of a story it was, you know? Because I think it's not, or do you have a same way you break down a script, or does it depend on the story?
I think the general table is the same regardless of what production I'm taking. You have literally a table. There would be one column with scene numbers. You would do the story days. You would do the characters per scene, props, set dressing elements, special effects, if there are any wardrobe things that you need to keep in mind, for example, torn dress or a spill on a dress, And then you would address them during the production meeting and talk, hey, so how are we doing that? And you would
So,
get an idea of how that is going to be tracked or how long we're going to see it on screen.
do you do also the or writing the infos for the other stuff, like as you said, if a stunt coordinator is needed or stuff like that?
This first assistant director who is deciding that along with the producer. Producer,
Okay.
so the first AD would do the breakdown, much more thorough than mine because he needs to schedule things time-wise. So that would also include the shot list from the director if we need any special gear to film it, like a dolly or a Ronin to do like a handheld vibe or anything. If it's the underwater thing, then it's a different timing that the scene takes. So he would be the one who would flag in the first I think pass of the scheduling, he would flag the days when first AD thinks that we need a stunt coordinator or intimacy coordinator or animal wrangler if there are animals, anything like that. And then he would ask producers, so what do we have in the budget? How many of those days we actually can afford?
Can we afford a stunt coordinator, or that's the actor have to do it on itself?
Yeah, but then it implies that maybe the scene cannot be shot the way it's written, and then it's a conversation with the client because the stunt coordinator brings safety to a more complicated action elements or sequences. And then if there is no stunt coordinator, then sure, the actor can pretend that he's falling, for example, right? He will fall out of one shot and do like a final impact kind of thing on the floor, but it's all going to be pretend. It's never the wide shot, it's never the actual fall, it's all in the cut, in the edit.
So
While it's
you are just when it comes to the scene, you are checking that right in this moment, everything which is needed is on set, right?
correct. Provided that director and producer are not telling me, oh, forget it, we're not gonna have this spiel, no time to do the spiel, or hey, we have one dress, we can't have it after
Okay.
that. So I can bring that question on set, but then ultimately, of course, the decision lies on the director who is working with me, and the producers and the production capabilities that we have.
Sounds a bit complicated and not so easy sometimes. What was the craziest shoot you ever did, or the craziest scene you ever did?
I think crazy in a good way or crazy just
Both.
complicated? Because I think in a good way, crazy, we had, I'm not sure if the project is out yet, but we did a story about a gambling god.
A
So
gambling god.
there was a guy who is super good with cards and everything gambling related, and we had a lot of rigged dice on set and actual card dealers who know how to pull the card in the sleeve or like cheat that that's the card he's taking out. And that's always fascinating to have those people with us because you get a glimpse on how that's done in the real world. And I'm not a gambler, so for me that was completely different universe that we had to recreate. Was
And what was a
amazing.
complicated scene, for example?
I'm not a fan of long torturing sequences, but there has been a trend on a very long torturing abusive content that would involve cuts or pushing someone under the water, whether it's sink or toilet or bathtub or pool, with breaking glass against someone's head. And when you have to do it within one, you do it one or two shooting days, the fully dedicated to that sequence, Everybody gets exhausted just mentally, along with cast members, because not so much because there are many things to track, even though that's the case too, but more so because you're participating in the activity that you don't necessarily like seeing or like being recreated even. But you still do it because ultimately the good guy will come and everybody will get
Yeah, the
avenged, right?
superhero will rescue as always. So, yeah. What's the difference being a script supervisor for Vertical than a feature film, for example?
I think it's not so much in my job. It's more in amount of time in prep and on set that other departments have. So when it comes to me tracking things, it gets so much more detailed and so much more fun because you get to see how makeup is doing fresh bruises versus second day bruises versus third day bruises. You would never think about it in normal life, but just by watching them, it's amazing how much more people have to offer once they have time to put that creativity into the final product. And that's what all those shooting days come down to. Like, everyone on set can offer so much more, provided you have more time to bring that on screen.
What keeps you addicted to do verticals?
Money. I really like having employment going. But also the crews. Honestly, we were joking recently that it feels like an office job at this point, a little bit, just because in the feature world, you would be working with new crews on every project pretty much. But with verticals, you come back to the same producers, same directors, same cast members over and over. Sometimes you see the same people back to back on two, three, four projects. And that's amazing. I love filmmakers that I get to work with and just seeing them so often. It really helps build the human connections and have fun.
So, who books you? The client or the production company, or who is reaching
Production
out to you?
company. Usually it's producers. If producers don't have, for example, they're, because we all are project-based, we're all freelancers. And sometimes I would be booked for the slot that production would want me for. Then someone from the production or director might think, oh, a week ago we worked with another scripty. And that person was amazing. Let's reach out and see if she or he's available. So it's always either producers or director, sometimes DP, but very rarely, who would reach out and check availability and be like, hey, we're thinking there might be a shoot in a month. Are you free? Let's soft book.
So, did I understand it correctly that for every vertical shoot there is one script supervisor, or are you a team or more?
I am one man's orchestra. However, there can be more than one script supervisor if I can't take all the days that the vertical is being shot for. Some projects overlap, some projects get pushed and overlap because of that. Then you bring another script supervisor for the days that you can't do, and then there are two of you. But at the same time, on set, in the vertical world, there is only one script supervisor, yes.
And you were doing now only script supervising, or do you other things on set? Because you said you always want to go on set. So is your only, it sounds so bad, but is your, do you do other things things like you said, writing and stuff like that also, or is your job that pays your rent a super script supervisor job?
It's script supervisor. 99% of the time, I am script supervising productions. I started writing recently for the verticals. I did my first two scripts last month. Very excited to see how they're gonna come out, if they're gonna come out. Can't say anything, all, NDA protected,
Hopefully
but
not full of slapping and raping.
no, not at all. And I was very surprised that the company took them because there were not really any slapping or raping. But we'll see. Very excited and definitely would love to write more because that allows for more creativity from me. Because as script supervisor, you're quite strict within the boundaries of the script. But as a writer, you get to, imagine, fantasize. So.
Yeah, you can create your own world. Is it a difference if you're doing a werewolf vertical, for example, in script supervising, than doing a normal CEO billionaire stuff?
Only from the standpoint of special effects, because different platforms do it differently, but usually most of the werewolf related elements, like glowing eyes or a wolf that you see in the reflection of the mirror, like his inner voice, whatever, they're all VFX. So we would have plates shot for the visual effects team to do that wolf later. Or certain shots would require a locked autofocus so that it's the same plane of focus for a special shot for the eyes. Rather than that, no, it's not very different. Unless there are appearing and disappearing magical Luna marks that sometimes are there, sometimes are not, and not even the writer can explain us at which point it appears and disappears.
The thing is, sometimes it's so obvious. I won't say the mistake, but as I told you, in the first view of the scene, the tie is blue, and the next one it's red.
Guilty that happens, totally. The I think you were asking, what's the difference between the feature and the vertical? And I said it's an amount of days and details, but actually, I think I forgot about the fact that those days that you have not only are being, not only you have less days to shoot, but you have the same amount of material to shoot. So it's crazy amounts of pages per day, and the pace is incredibly fast. So very often by being human beings, we are rushing, actor needs to be changed within 30 seconds to get on camera. Mistakes happen. Definitely.
But do you think that this whole pace stuff is making the verticals less in quality?
Definitely.
Because sometimes I have the feeling that this pace, I mean, it could be done in this pace as we see a lot, but sometimes it's so different on different platforms you watch it, the quality in shooting it is sometimes so different, even small
Absolutely.
details and stuff like that. And so I'm thinking sometimes, why can they get it and the others don't get it? Even if both have the same pace and time problem, let's call it a problem.
I think there are many elements in play when it comes to the visual quality of the final product that you are getting. Part of it is, of course, the creative team behind it. Not every director puts in the same creativity as the other one. Not every director maybe thinks about the extra dolly move or extra camera move. Not every director has multiple cameras to cover the same scene. Some productions, for the budget reasons, work with two cameras rolling simultaneously. Some productions work with four. Obviously, when you're rolling four cameras, you can finish your basic coverage within one or two setups and then spend extra time on getting that fancy dolly move with a nice bringing you into the scene vibe, like rack from, some cloak with the werewolf to the person in the scene and everything. And that sounds simple, but it elevates the visual watching experience so much. Locations play a giant part in it. Production design, even logistics of production design, how much stuff can we buy for the location that we got? Yes, we got this fancy house, and 7 out of 10 rooms work for what we're shooting, but one room is really empty. What do we need to bring on set to make it, belong in the story? And if we don't have the capacity to bring those stuff, maybe simply because there is no car to bring it in. Like, you want a fancy rug on the wall, but that costs extra money to transport it there. Yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely both the creative limitations, the monitor limitations, location limitations.
The money. It's all about the money.
Yeah, money and time. Yes.
The thing is, when I see a vertical with a lot of details in the room, as you said lately, some couple pictures on the sideboard and stuff like that, you are all organizing that or responsible for that?
No, definitely not. I am responsible for seeing that the key storytelling elements are there that were written in the script. But when you're talking about production design, that's totally the realm of our director, production designer, set dresser, the people
Set
who,
dresser.
yes, the wonderful person who makes every room look pretty,
That's a
belong.
set dresser. I never heard about a set dresser. Maybe I should reach out for a set dresser.
I bet
Because,
they can tell you a lot of fun stories of how you bring the
yeah,
same
because
props from one
when I
context
watched,
to
for
another.
example, the Vertical Matrimony, they had a huge picture in the floor, a huge one, and I thought, oh, holy moly, did they print that picture out for this vertical, and what they are they doing after the shooting with that one? That's so
Sometimes,
sometimes.
yes, sometimes we're very lucky with locations, and the locations are very spooky with the rugs and chandeliers, and they just belong. That's why location scouting is a very important part of the prep for the shoot when director and the core creative team are visiting different places to choose where we're filming, provided the budget is allowing. Yeah, that's definitely 50% of success
So
visually.
you said mostly roundabout, good one. You get the script 2 weeks before the shooting starts. Do you know then who will be playing in this vertical and who you are working with?
Yes, at least for the lead casts, I usually do.
Is that good or not so good?
To know who is
Mm-hmm.
playing? It doesn't really make a big difference to my job. Some
Okay.
actors are a little bit more consistent, some actors are a little less consistent. Some prefer to learn the lines word by word, even if it's grammatically, tricky
Shitty, yeah.
and wordy. Yeah. Some actors like to rewrite their lines without, deviating from the meaning, but keep them more natural
Yeah.
sounding. They're all different, but no, it doesn't make a difference for me with whom to work. I love my actors. That's people whom I speak a lot on set with, in terms of like, oh, you picked up the cup with this hand, you turned on this line, you like held her in this direction or turned through the left shoulder in the take, to keep all that consistent. So I communicate with them a lot, and obviously feeding the lines is part of that too. So no, love them all.
That's good, love them all. So, because I can imagine that it would be hard if you cannot get along so good with anyone to work so stuff like you set out that in 7 or 10 days that it looked at the end really good in the vertical. You know what I mean? So, how is it? Did you ever a vertical with a children shooting or with
Yes.
a child or children on set? How is it working with them? Because there are lately a lot of verticals with a child or children in it, and I'm so impressed how professional they are playing and acting sometimes, even if they are so young. So they also need to get the script supervisor orders, let's say it orders. How is it working with children on set?
It's very tricky because obviously the span of attention is very different from adult cast. The amount of hours that you're getting with kids is very different. So whenever there is a child written in the script, you know that depending on the age of the casted actor, you only get a certain amount of hours with him. The younger the actor is, the less amount of hours you're getting. So sometimes the script would demand an 8-year-old, but you know that if you cast 11-year-old who look like 8, you're getting more hours. So there's a lot more pressure on the casting, even from logistical standpoint, not even so much from the acting or like how good they are for the role, even though that's implied, obviously, but that's implied for the adult actors too. There's just more consideration in terms of age. And kids cannot do stunts by default because they don't understand why we're doing it the way it's done. They can forget a thing, and that's not safe. So whenever there is a stunt scene with a child, it's always tricky to break it down in the simpler elements to make sure that the kid makes it safe for him, no matter how much of that sequence he remembers at the time. We just did a vertical where a kid was supposed to be put inside a fish tank with a constantly increasing water level inside the tank. And that was tricky because to put that kid inside, you need two adults carrying that kid over the edge of the fish tank because it's a human, it's a tall fish tank. And kid can get claustrophobic, and you don't know how he's going to react to those walls and to the fact that the water is rising. And you always think of how good of an experience the kid is getting because verticals can get very edgy. And rough, and the scenes that kids are participating in are sometimes abusive, and you wonder how good of an experience it is for a child to play in it. And you're trying to soften it, but there is only so much you can do because there are long takes, and you hear the adults speaking, and the kids are part of that. So it's always, there is a lot going on into working with kids, and I'm frankly not excited that vertical started. Just from human standpoint, I'm not very excited that kids are being incorporated in it because there are a lot of things that they should not be exposed to.
Yeah, there are lately. I spoke in the last monthly recaps with ladies about it. I watched a vertical. The female lead was really great, but the whole vertical was big crap because mostly of the time the kid was abused and tortured by sitting in the closed car in the sun. And you see in the storyline how the kid gets more and more dehydrated and was screaming for help and stuff like that. And it was shown, I think, 15 minutes in the vertical. And that was one thing I thought, oh, really, is that necessary for a kid? I think she was 5, something like that. I'm not sure if so, even if it's acting, it's not influencing the kind of mental thinking of a kid at this age doing such a scene. I'm not so sure about that, to be honest.
I agree, but that comes down to writing. That's something probably that the writer should be thinking about when creating the world. Because I think there are so many tools to keep the audience engaged into the narrative and to rise the stakes. And I think if you feel pressured into using kids or animals. I've seen a couple of verticals, unfortunately, that were going into animal abuse too recently.
Or disabled person.
Or disabled person. I think if you feel pressured into using those tools to increase the stakes, then maybe something's going wrong. Because with the adult cast, there is so much you can do without bringing the struggling kid for 15 minutes in the car, as you're saying.
And to be honest, sometimes it's only a new storyline needed. You know, some of the stories are so worn out. And I started watching Verticals very early. So for me, it's now a kind of repeating every time some storylines where I thought, no, And you know exactly after the fifth episode how the story will end, and I don't understand why these stories are still selling. Because sometimes you have exactly the same story, only with a different cast. Even the names, the saying in it's the same.
Yeah, I'm very new to writing the verticals, so maybe in a couple of months, fingers crossed, I'll be able to give more insight on that. But from what I know so far is verticals have very vertical platforms have a lot of ways of tracking what story beats the audience left watching the vertical, what story beats audience rolled over from, episode to episode, from before the paywall, through the paywall. And they sometimes think that by reusing the same elements, they can ensure that the audience will stick with the story, which I don't think is the case because if it worked the first time, that might only mean that the build-up before that point was good enough for you to go through that, hook, that transitional element. You liked it, it played well. It doesn't mean that by taking it and putting it in a completely different story, just for the sake of keeping the audience's attention, that you think is going to stay because it worked one time and the data showed that it worked that time. Doesn't mean it's going to work in different story the same way. But they have very excessive marketing power tools to analyze what story beats work and not, and which don't. And that I think is partially what makes the stories redundant. Because the clients and the platforms want the same. If one vertical hit the charts and everybody watched it, 10 other platforms will fund the same story
It's lately
type
with the sportive verticals. Only thing that changes is the sport. The storyline is always the same. Did you ever had to supervise exactly the same story?
Yes, and also I very often see if you work on a one of the top platforms, Dramabox or Real Short Story, that are often a little bit more creative and original. They're trying to come up with the new stuff. And then a month later, after the release, you're working on one of the smaller platforms. And you see exactly the same scenes just mushed together and incorporated in a one vertical that is trying to be a standalone story, but is really just a salad out of different scenes that you already shot for
So for
different
you,
versions.
it's good because you don't have to make completely new plan for it, isn't it?
Well, I still have to do a new breakdown because the order is different. So now there may be a different
Okay.
story day, different scars, whatever. Yeah, no, it's
So
still same normal
when
order.
is for you a project done with the last shooting day?
Yes, because so you know how I said that I do the breakdown and I track all that on the shooting days. However, during the shooting days, my main job, besides tracking the continuity, is making logs for the editor.
That means
Because the post-production team is getting 50, 70 media cards of data from one production, a lot of them, and they need to start editing ASAP very quickly, because the turnarounds on the verticals are very tight. Everybody wants to release it soon. And they need to navigate all the data, and we shot out of order. Sometimes you would pick up a shot that belongs to the scene that you shot 3 days ago today. So script supervisors do several documents that combine together, look like a map for the editor to be able to find, okay, if I'm editing scene one, where are all the shots for scene one? Where have they been shot? So yes, that's what I do during the shoot, and I send with a with properly organized workflow. By the end of the last day, the script supervisor will have the last piece of documents to send all of that to the post-production, to the producers, and yeah, I will be wrapped on the last day of the shoot.
Is it n often happening that you got a new script while shooting on another?
Absolutely, yes. You would want that to keep your projects back to back, or at least, okay, I would want that because I'm trying to work as many days as possible within a month, and that's only possible if my prep is happening while I'm filming.
Yeah, but when you are on set, so I assume you also have 12 hour days, stuff like that. So you have to do it in the evening, or when
Or
do
in the
you do?
morning, yes, depends on how tired you are. You either come back from set and you do it, or you sleep for a couple of hours and then you wake up and do it. But that's not only the case for me, that's everybody who freelances on the movie sets, they all do that. Maybe with directors, it's sometimes a little less of a case because they take a little longer to prep. But I know 100% of makeup artists, production designers, maybe not sound mixers because they don't really prep the next show per se because they just come and record sound. But everyone who has stuff to prep, they will be overlapping prep with an active ongoing production as much as they can.
That's a bit stressful, isn't it?
It is, yes. Especially
And
as
you
we're
still
hitting
love
Christmas, and
it?
I still love it,
Okay,
yes.
I'm just asking. Just asking.
Yeah.
So, I have a big question because I heard of some. We don't talk about concrete numbers, but I heard that the crew members are not so paid well. What about a script supervisor?
I think we all are paid on the level of ultra low budget indie feature film. It is low, yes, but I would rather be paid that and take more shoots as much as I can. Then be waiting for higher paid projects that come more rarely. Because, for example, commercials pay higher for scripts, but how many of them are there? How often can I take the commercial days? Obviously, if they come along, then I might find a substitute script supervisor to fill me in on the vertical and go take that commercial gig. But aside from that, I'm happy to just pack my schedule with three verticals a month. And yes, I will be working long hours and everything, but overall, I'm okay.
It's that what I want, what you want to do? Or
No,
is there
because I.
kind of little dream inside of you?
There is definitely a dream inside of me to be writing more, because I think that will address the issue of long work hours and somehow give me a little bit more time to do the hobbies that I'm enjoying or meet people whom I haven't seen. Because r with writing, you can do 8, 10 hours per day, and those 2 extra hours, they do make a difference.
Yeah, I think so. 2 hours is not l not less, if you think so. Could you possibly turn down a script?
I could.
Or do you
No.
have to make it done when you agreed to doing one and you get the whole script and you read it and you see, oh, that's totally different from what I expected? Can you
I
turn it
think
down then?
yes, as a crew member, you technically can. As any member of the movie set, you can turn down the script. You have to do it well in advance. So as soon as you get the full script, if you read it and you're like, I would never work on the project that portrays something like this. Definitely, because you're a freelancer, ultimately, you're hired per project. It might not even, because we all are humans and producers read that script too. And if there is something so bad that you want to turn down the script, then probably the rest of the team is aware that there is something very shady is happening in the story. But people make stories because they ultimately need the money to support the families and everything. Sometimes it's not even for the love of craft. So if you think that you definitely don't want to tell this type of story for personal, religious, whatever reasons, you definitely can do that. Just keep in mind that you're going to do it as soon as you read the script so that people have time to find a replacement for you.
So, is your salary, does it depends on the amount of pages in the script or stuff like that, or
No, I'm getting paid per day for
okay.
1 12-hour day. So overtime pay is separate if we are going longer. And
Okay.
some productions do go longer. We can do 14 hours, 15 hours, 16 hours. Can happen.
And the pre-work you are doing at home with this downbreaking and stuff like that?
Yes, you are getting, in a vertical world, it's typically one prep day that you have.
Ah, okay. Okay, so it's not depending on how long the script is, it's depending on the whole project, how many days it is. Ah, okay. So for the end, we just want to repeat, you are not writing the script. You are not the person who can
Who's
be
responsible for
addressed
that madness? No.
for the shitty stories sometimes. Ah, okay, but
Or who
there's
can be praised for the good stories? No, yeah, all the credits and
no.
all the blame go to writers.
Isn't it annoying that you don't get credits at the moment in the verticals?
I do get credit as a script supervisor. If you check my IMDb, there's some of the verticals who did add themselves to IMDb
Yeah, but
basis.
I'm thinking about in the verticals, you know, at the end or stuff like that. No, no
No, I'm
credits
happy
are
not to be
shown.
credited. So many crew members are not shown. You know, if you compare the credits of the feature films with all the VFX team and the
Exactly. That's why I'm
green
asking.
team. No, I'm
Some
okay.
verticals don't even have credits on the leads.
No, I'm okay with that.
No, maybe I was just thinking because if there would be credits, maybe you can get more jobs.
I'm not really getting jobs because of how well the project is doing. I'm getting jobs because of how much producer, director, clients loved working with me on set, how good of a job I did, how nice of a person I was, not a total jerk to be
Are
around.
you a nice person?
You tell me. Very hard for me to answer.
It's also, it depends on how nice I was. Is
But
sometimes not so nice?
sometimes no, but we all work under pressure for 12 hours a day for 7 days at least in a row. So how good of a human experience are you bringing on set? We all are tired at the end of the day. We all want to go home, but you still have to be respectful and helpful to people who are suffering as much as you, or sometimes more than you, because like you might be working with an actor who is in the cold water of a pool outside filming how happy they are during the party scene, but they're freezing to death because the location doesn't have the heating in the pool. So it's all of how human can you be, and how good of a shared experience it is for you and the ones around you. That's what getting me hired. Not the credits.
Not the credits. Okay. No, I was just thinking, well, at the end of every episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickie. So everyone gets the same questions. First question, what's your favorite dish? What do you like to eat?
Anything that my parents cook. I think because I haven't been home for a long time, I really miss their cooking. So right now, anything from my mom's fridge that would magically appear on my table, would love that.
Russian specialties or what?
She bakes fantastically, so maybe one of the pies, or my dad is amazing with doing plovs, which is a variation of it's like rice, kind of pulao rice. I'm not even sure how to call it, but it's a rice-based dish with meat that came to us probably from Armenia or Georgia, with some carrots, with some onions, and he cooks it in like a very traditional giant pot on the open fire. It's delicious. Anything, literally. They're both very good cooks, so I'll take anything.
And you leave them?
I know, I'm a bad daughter.
And how long does it take to fly from LA to Russia?
With a connection flight, it can take up to 24 hours. Direct flights used to be 14 to 16 hours.
Okay, that's a lot.
It
That's
is a
really a
lot.
lot. What's a film you like? All time classic one or stuff like that. What type of films you all love to like watch?
I'm a movie buff. I love very different movies. I think it depends on the mood, on the day. You watch one movies on Christmas night and very different movies when you're like in a gloomy
Yeah. That's true.
spring moon. But just to give the range, I love animation a lot. So Tom Moore and Cartoon Saloon, the Irish animated studio, very close to my heart, Hayao Miyazaki. But I also love Nolan with Interstellar. When it came out, I watched it on my literally birthday night. Like as clock was going into my birthday, I was in the movie theater and I still absolutely adore it. I love American noir films from the 50s. I think when I think movies, I think noir films. So something like M for Murder or The Third Man, that's also on the list. So there's a variety there.
Yeah, but as you said, I think it depends on the mood you are. It depends also on the mood, which kind of music you like. What's your favorite music?
Oof, that's even harder. I don't think I have favorite music right now. I listen mostly to jazz and blues when I'm on my own. Something like Chet Baker, maybe, with just instrumental compositions in the mix, but I went through all eras, starting from very bad emo days of my teenage days, through rock, through rap, anything. So if it's a good track, you like it, and if you don't like it, well, you don't listen to it. I don't really choose music by genres, I think. It's by whether I'm vibing with it or not.
When I would start watching verticals now, and I said, which one of your verticals I should definitely watch, which one would you advise me to watch?
That's a hard question. You know what? I think I would go with the gambling one that I said just because it was so fun to watch it. I am not sure if it's out yet, but if it's not, it's
I
coming.
don't know who was the lead in it.
Michael Allen
Okay.
with Emily Gately as the female lead.
Oh, Emily, I love the acting of Emily Gately. And she was also in the Total Crap one with the child abuse. She was really great in that. She played the role so well, but she cannot rescue the shitty vertical. So no, I don't think that the show dropped already, as you
Well,
said.
if it's not, then I'm advertising it right
Yeah,
now.
I
No,
have
that's
to.
fine.
If you know the title and the platform where it will drop, let me know, please.
Okay, I will check.
Then I can take it to my watch list, and maybe I'm sure we will review it with the ladies because we are always open to great new verticals with not that typical storyline, you know. That's always good. Last question, which genre you want to see more or work more in it?
In the vertical space,
Yes.
I think detective stories. I think femme fatales with a
Miss
good detective
Marple's.
plot. Yeah, I think the space would really incorporate it well.
I spoke with Kirby Elwood for the podcast, and we decided that because she won a film so badly in Europe, that I said, what about shooting a kind of criminal series in the different Europe countries? And the leads are always the same one, but the cast changes everything, and the country changes every time. So they come from one country to another and have to solve criminal cases.
Like a road movie mi mixed with detective story. That sounds amazing.
That was the idea of Kirby and I. And Kirby said, I want to have for the male lead Robert Palmer Watkins because he did on Viglou, Love, Lies, and Alibis. It was kind of criminal vertical. And Kirby said to me, yeah, you know, I know some script writers. And I said, oh, that's fine. And the fun part is Danny Farber and Matt Macedo would also be in as directors. We need the money. We
That's
need to
amazing.
win the
No, I
lottery.
worked with Matt. Matt is great. So definitely find
Yeah,
the
I had
rest.
such a lovely time and chat with him. He's a really, really nice person. And he wants to direct in Europe. So I said, okay, why not two birds with one stone?
Everybody wants to direct in Europe. We all have that image of a
So
vacation almost during war.
the position for the script supervisor is all in. No, it's not. It's open for discussion in
I
this.
would love to apply.
Okay.
We'll work pro bono for food and lodging.
Yeah, you know, I said if I will win the lottery, the European jackpot lottery, it's always round about, I don't know, 100, 120 million euros. I can fly you all over. And Kirby demanded, no, we said we will shoot one vertical in Istanbul, one vertical in Italy, one vertical in Lithuania, one vertical in Scotland because of the, you know, mysterious
course, castles. That's from
Yeah,
werewolf story or vampire story, please.
exactly. And one in Germany.
Amazing.
And I reached out to Robert Palmer Watkins and with the idea, and his answer was, "I only read Europe, I'm in." And if I will win this 120 million euro, I will buy a private jet and I can fly you all over in one jet. And Kirby demanded that in every country there is at least 3 or 4 days for the traveling the country. No shooting, traveling the country. So we have to stay around about in every country 3 weeks to shoot and make a bit a country trip, and then we move on to the next country.
That sounds like a dream.
Yeah, good, yeah. Yeah, we are working on it. We are
Please
working.
keep me posted. I want to know
Yeah,
how to
the
apply
position as script supervisor is
and
still open. So, but you have to do it then for the whole series, not only for one, for the whole one.
I think I can endure it. I will, brace
Okay,
my
that's good.
throat. No, that's
That's
fantastic.
good.
That's
We will keep that in mind. So,
Thank
thank
you.
you very much, Alina, for your time and talking to me. It was really interesting. And I know now who's the missing detail manager Caitlin and I spoke about.
Whom to slide and direct and say, hey, this
Hey,
project had
who was the
XYZ
script
missing.
supervisor in this one? I have
Yes.
something to point on. So
Well,
that's
thank you
good.
for having me. It was a blast.
So thank you, Alina. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You
Bye.
too. Good night.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.